Joe is supposed to do the show prep, and he failed miserably.
Yep, constantly. Being a failure is my MO.
Sad situation.
It's the first thing on my LinkedIn profile. Failure, follower of Jesus, father. They all have to start with
it's
an F.
Shorts day here at
it is.
At Mixed Messages.
Let's be honest, it's above 55. If I don't have something formal to do, it's shorts day for me.
I don't usually wear them, but I have them on, you have them on, Jason has them on, like we all have shorts on, and hopefully that camera shot is not getting our legs, because it's not a pretty sight in here.
And there's no such thing as good-looking man legs. Maybe that's because we're men, but I'm pretty sure that's pretty universal. So, yeah. Well... Hello, everyone.
Hello, Joe.
Oh, you're everyone. I like this about you.
Do my best.
Well, thanks for checking out today's episode of Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue, otherwise known as Everyone. I'm Joe Caruso, and we are very glad you're here. With so many voices out there, there's news, there's social media, even comedians and friends. It's tough to know what to think or how to make decisions. So we just want to help you sort through the noise and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through the mixed messages around us and find the way of Jesus. Let's get into it. Jeff, yesterday you and I were talking about Nate Bargatze.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He is hilarious. And even Jason's giving us a thumbs up right now. Some of his sketches, like the ones he's done on SNL with the...
Yeah, with the he's George Washington.
We shall name 12 a dozen. And then later on, it's like, so a dozen grades, sir? He's like, no.
No.
No, that's not what dozen's used for. It's just good stuff, man. I'm contemplating, I think I saw they expanded his shows here in Akron to be on the Friday night, the weekend he's here too.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, if that's true, I may try to pick up tickets. I want to see him in.
Is he in Akron or Cleveland?
I don't remember.
I think he's up in Cleveland.
I think it's the Rocket.
Yeah, I think he sells out arenas, man.
Yeah,
I
mean, gotta get into it.
Oh, yeah. He's huge right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good stuff. The one of my favorite things he ever said was when he was talking about how. Like, he's a comedian, so oftentimes he stays up late at night, like, watching TV or listening to stuff to get material. He goes, yeah, my wife will, you know, duck away to bed at 10:30 at night. But every once in a while,
she comes back down
with a blanket and says, you know, I'll just cuddle up with you. And he goes, how do you say to the person on this earth that you love the most that you're the last person I want to be with right now?
Yeah,
and I just think that's hysterical. And Mandy, comparatively, is more that person. Like, she's the one that's like, give me some individual space more than me.
Yeah.
And so, and I get it, because every once in a while I get there too. But
you know, Heidi and I, it's funny, we're both that way. And so we're both pretty independent. We were both pretty happy. You know, we love being together, but we're like fine, you know, if you got something going on. And I'll go on these trips with other pastors, and they're like, calling their wives, this and that. And they're like, would you call Heidi? It's like, oh, I probably won't talk to her for like 4 days. And they're like, that's terrible. I'm like, no, I think she wants to be left alone. I think she was pretty excited I was going out of town.
Yeah, I do think that there are things like that that are, they're more personality associated than they are principle associated.
100%.
Because there are some couples that I think that's really healthy for them to talk on that regular of a basis. Others, it would mess with them.
Yeah, like I just came in here to do this podcast today. I've been basically working from home, having people out the house, teams out the house all day today. And Heidi's like, so are you here all day or are you going to be gone some? Or,
right.
So it's just, but you know, it's funny. We'll have to do another podcast on marriage sometime, but a happy marriage is when you understand each other.
Yes.
And then you live in that understanding. And so I think sometimes we put up these images of this is what you have to do. I'm like, because people are like, do you communicate well? I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you like being together? Yeah. Do you miss each other? Yeah. Absolutely. But you don't need to be together all the time? No, we don't really want to be together. Like, it would drive us nuts, you know, to do that. So it's, I don't know, it's just a funny thing.
Yep. And then even learning the mutual submission side of that, because sometimes one of the people's like, no, I want to be together all the time. And the other person's like, no, I'm independent.
Yeah.
So the independent person has to learn, and then the other person has to learn. It's part of the dance.
Part of it.
But as you said, marriage is not today's topic.
Yeah. These are the mixed messages all around us, though, Joe.
So many mixed messages around
us. So many mixed messages.
Let's cut through the noise.
The mixed messages of the mixed messages mix up the messages.
I'm actually picking that up. So. Well, here's today's question. So Jesus will return a second time. He will come back,
mm-hmm.
and he's giving time to folks to accept him as Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
If he never leaves us or forsakes us, as some of the scriptures would say, there's quite a large number of people in the world, and we're never going to run out of people that we're waiting for to respond to Jesus. So unless he just calls it and says enough is enough, which seems to go against that I'll never leave you or forsake you, how do you reconcile those two things? He's very interested in hearing our thoughts and opinion. And then he says, bonus question, what about babies? There's always new ones. Do they just get a free pass into heaven? So maybe we need to truly break this up into two parts, but
yeah.
How do we reconcile these things, Jeff?
So the baby part, we'll just start there. They actually do kind of get a free pass into heaven, in my view. I believe that God is a God of grace and that our salvation and our sin are issues of, so to say, personal responsibility. Mm-hmm. So a baby, I was just saw my granddaughter here a minute ago. She, little Psalm is her name. She doesn't have any ability to know a right from a wrong or to be willful in her responses to any of those things. And so I believe that salvation is given by grace, and it kind of gracefully grows with us, so to say. So like I believe that a six-year-old can genuinely accept Christ and they can genuinely understand sin because they know the difference between right and wrong. I believe that you understand that differently as a 16-year-old and you receive that differently as a 60-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not an issue of are you saved or not saved, it's an issue of maturity
mm-hmm.
and how that's growing and what that looks like, which is a whole nother conversation. I don't want to get too deep into that. But I do believe in an age of accountability. So especially the image of this kind of comes when David got Bathsheba pregnant and Bathsheba lost the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And David said, well, I'll see the baby in paradise then. And so I believe that children, babies, have a unique grace from God.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that they're in heaven. I also believe that about disabled people who do not have the ability to fully comprehend mm-hmm. right from wrong. And so if there's a way that God can get us into heaven, he will.
Right. And to clarify, I love what you're saying. It's not that those people are innocent so they get to heaven. It's that the work of the cross and the resurrection cover them also.
It's a great clarification. We are born into sin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how that grace is applied in a unique way.
Yeah.
Now, you will find theologians that disagree with me.
Like, sure.
You should know that. But when they get to heaven, they'll know I'm right. and we'll work that out. So that's kind of that question. The second question of does time go on? So there's when you think about the second coming of Christ and you think about the idea, he does that Peter says he wishes that none would perish but all would come to repentance, and that there is a ending to the timeline, mm-hmm. right? So like maybe this person was able to hear about Christ once. This person was able to hear about Christ 15 times. The way that we have to like rectify that in our hearts and minds is first of all with a trust in the goodness of God. So God is not eagerly waiting to send people to hell.
Right.
He is passionately pleading for people to come to salvation. And so you kind of start there, and that's a really, really important thing, that when I'm interpreting an action, how I interpret the intention of the person doing the action changes my interpretation of the action, right?
Yep.
So if I pull a gun and I point it at someone, if I see someone pull a gun and point it at someone, if that person who pulled the gun has a badge and a uniform on, I interpret that action one way. If that person has a ski mask on, I interpret that action a different way. It's the same action. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about God closing time and releasing Jesus to come back a second time, I have to look at the intention of his heart to interpret what about all these people who are on the planet right now.
Yeah.
So I would start there, that if you start with the basis that God is good and he is loving and he seeks to save all who are willing, if I start with that belief, then now what I do is I surrender to his time frame. So if a God is good and loving who's seeking to save all who are willing, when he makes the decision to return, he's not making that objectively, so to say. He's making that as a part of his sovereign plan and will,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's one thing. The second thing is that the Bible says that after Jesus returns, some people's hearts will be hardened, but some people will be awakened for salvation. So there will be people who accept Christ after Jesus returns in a period that we call the Great Tribulation. The thing you have to be careful of when you find out that information is, well, I'll wait for the Great Tribulation, then I'll accept Christ.
Right.
And the Bible says no, because God does sear the conscience. Mm-hmm. So if I invite you to my house for dinner, you and Mandy and Ainsley to my house for dinner, and I invite and I invite and I invite and I invite, and I know that you always give me excuse, and then you start to say, I don't want to come, and then you even go to say, I wish you would stop inviting me. When I stop inviting you, that is not me being hard-hearted. Mm-hmm. That is me turning you over to your own rejection mm-hmm. of the invitation, right? So there are some that even though, you know, they listen to the sermon that I just gave on this out of James 5, or maybe the collective just did a series on the return of Christ, even though we know all that stuff, even then when Jesus returns, they will say, well, that wasn't Jesus. Mm-hmm. That was aliens, or that was whatever, you know, it's shocking how many people believe in aliens, that they will excuse it a different way. Mm-hmm. So that is your heart being seared, where you're no longer sensitive to God. The people who do accept Christ after his return in this great time of tribulation will most likely die a martyr's death mm-hmm. if the scripture plays out in ways that we envision it, you know, that it would play out. And so that's why Jesus is so strong that today is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
So it is not the mercy and the grace of God is never fully removed from humanity. The way that we receive it and live under it changes. And God will still be pursuing people. But if you come to him, you will pay a very high price for it. And if you have hardened your heart before his return, I would say chances are your heart's going to be hardened after his return. But a good, loving God is always pursuing people. And when we view the action of the second coming, we have to view it through a good, loving God that's in pursuit of people.
Yeah. So when people find themselves with that calloused heart and on the other side of God's invitation, does that mean that God has left them and forsaken them, or were those words for someone else? How do we put that promise, so to speak, in context with that reality for some people?
I don't know. I mean, that God searing your conscience and you not responding to God is between you and God. Mm-hmm. So it's a warning to all. And Romans 1 talks about God turning people over to their sin.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at certain sins even now, and people will argue them, and you're like, you've got to be kidding. Like, it's not logical. It's not scientific. It's not even biologically accurate. And yet you are like, no, this is the way that this is. Mm-hmm. And what you're seeing is a hard mind, a closed mind and a hard heart. And it's actually an act of judgment on God's behalf. Mm-hmm. And you see this all over the place where people will make up untruths and they'll tell lies and they will convince themselves that lie. And that's what Bible says in Romans 1, that they exchange the truth of God for a lie. Mm-hmm. The obvious pieces, the obvious things of God for a lie. Mm-hmm. And we see it all the time. You see it in issues of life. You see it in issues of sexuality. You see it in business. Like, you see it, we want to always attach that to our enemies. We attach it to ourselves. Like, we can look at ourselves and convince ourselves we're not materialistic. Mm-hmm. We can convince ourselves we're not prideful.
Sure.
We can convince ourselves we're not sinful.
Right.
We do it all the time. We'll look and say, well, that he was a good person underneath. And you look and say, well, if he was a good person underneath, why didn't any good come out of his life? Mm-hmm. It's not even, we're not even being honest mm-hmm. about it anymore. So God allowing us to believe our lies is an act of his righteous judgment on us. Who receives that judgment? Who doesn't? I'm like, I don't know, because I don't know the heart. Mm-hmm. Only God knows the heart. I know that God is good. I know that he loves me. I know he wishes none would perish.
Yep.
So if you receive that judgment, it's not because God was unfair. It's because he finally relinquished to what you were asking for the whole time. And the end of time, the Bible says, it's going to come like a twinkling of an eye and like a thief in the night. And so some of the apocalyptic images are true. Mm-hmm. So when I'm going to, after this podcast, I'm going to hop in my truck and drive back to my house to meet those staff. Well, if the Lord comes right there, I am going to disappear from my truck that's set on cruise control at 60 miles an hour, and it's going to keep going. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm the airline pilot, if I'm the ship's captain, like, so there's going to be calamity around the world just by the sheer volume of disappearances that are going to happen. That's going to have to be explained. Mm-hmm. And what I would say is that that our culture has those explanations ready to go. I'm not saying that people trying to figure out if there's aliens or not, as an example, mm-hmm. is horribly wicked or blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, it's just ready to go. Mm-hmm. If people disappear and there's calamities, like, our culture is ready to step in with governmental control. Like, we know that. I'm not sensationalizing anything. Like the Bible says, in the end of time, that money will be tightly controlled, mm-hmm. and you'll have to have the mark of the beast to buy and sell. Well, we're like, yeah, we could do that by Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And I'm not being sensationalist or a conspiracy theory. I'm like, yeah, they shut my credit card off when I travel. You know, mm-hmm. that when I leave the country now, it's all facial recognition. Mm-hmm. They know where I'm like, it's not spooky, it's not creepy, it's not evil. We're just not speculating about how that could work. So if you don't accept Christ before his return, you're caught up in all of that. Mm-hmm. And you're caught up in the deceptions, or you're caught up in the consequences of it. And God's trying to spare you of that now. The question is, when is the exact moment that's right then for God to do that? And the answer is, I don't know that.
Yep.
But a loving, kind, gracious, redeeming God does know that. Mm-hmm. The Bible says even Jesus doesn't know that. Mm-hmm. But the character of the one who presses go is something that I have chosen to trust.
Yeah. When it comes to that phrase of never leave or forsake, and what I've read over the years, and I think what I've come to settle on one of two interpretations of is one, well, he's talking to his family, the church, the people that are in Christ. Like, yeah, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's a no-brainer. And then I've also read one that it's kind of the understanding of, like, God won't be the one that leaves you or forsakes you.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you don't plan on leaving or forsaking him.
Right.
And so, like you said, the invitation is always there. His mercy is always available. But if we keep walking away from the invitation, we will find ourselves on the outside of the acceptance of that invitation.
Yeah.
And so that's really good and helpful, Jeff. This whole genre of conversation of what happens at the end and the second coming, we have these glimpses. We have these kind of almost portholes of kind of seeing a little bit of what God's going to do and how he's going to do it. But he doesn't give us a clear picture, and a lot of that's on purpose because the whole point is to trust and have faith in him along the way anyway. So yeah. Thanks for walking us through this bit. If you, as our listener, have questions you'd like us to tackle, maybe it's a follow-up to this one, you can always head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. We'd also love to hear how these conversations are helping you. So don't be a stranger when you see us. Reach out. Let us know. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review, and help others find it too. That's what Jeff is doing.
And if you're not enjoying the podcast?
I would say you should still subscribe. You should still follow. Don't rate. And you know what? Just wait till you're in a better mood to review. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend, certainly in person, or if you're out of town or somewhere else, you can begin to check us out online as well. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you.